Well, as we look into at our word today, you guys know that we are going through a series in the fruit of the Spirit. And so we are continuing our discussion, our sermon, our series. And today we want to spend our time talking about gentleness. The King James calls it gentleness in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. All of the other versions, the NIV, the NASB, the NILT, all of the other versions call it kindness. So I might say gentleness on one hand, I might say kindness on the other hand, but you guys get the picture, right? Amen. I like the message, though. The message calls it not gentleness or not kindness, but the message says a sense of compassion in the heart. And so we want to spend our time talking about the fruit of the Spirit called gentleness today. Question for you today. Do you guys know any VDPs? Do you know any VDPs today? I discovered that VDPs are very draining people. You know, the VDPs are those kind of people who say things, you know, that set us on edge. Yeah. You know, you ever had somebody to come up to you and say, you know, and say something like, you know, they come into your home and they'll say something like, "Where did you get that wallpaper?" It's obvious that they're not saying this because they want to get out, go out and buy some for themselves, right? You ever seen those people who come to you and they say, "Oh, how much weight have you gained?" Or they say, "Boy, you really look tired." You know, I mean, deep inside, we know that we don't need to hear comments like that, but they're all around us. You see, the truth is that some people, or even maybe some of us, might need a personality transplant. And when we start thinking about those kind of things, that's when we find ourselves looking at Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. And it tells us that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, I hope that we don't interpret this series on the fruit of the Spirit. I don't want us to interpret this as kind of one of those, you know, sermons that challenge us to try harder. You know, I don't want you guys to walk away thinking that, oh, so we've been challenged to try harder, you know. I'm not saying try harder, okay? I'm not saying just try harder to be patient or just try harder to be more loving or just try harder to be more gentle. It's not one of those just try harder sermons, okay? What I'm hoping is that you will allow, each one of us will allow the Holy Spirit to do his work in us, changing us and making us into the kind of person that God wants us to be. You see, when we do that, when we allow the Holy Spirit to do the work and we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us, then that's when that happens, the fruit of the Spirit is evident in our lives. You see, guys, if we walk away and we think that I just got to make more of an effort and I just got to try harder to do what I need to do, then we're missing the point. The challenge for us today is that if we want to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit, then we must be willing to trust the Holy Spirit to work in us and through us.
Yes, sir.
You guys pretty much know the historical background around the book of Galatians. Even as it relates to the theological background, we begin to see in this book of Galatians that these so-called Judaizers or the self-righteous people or the Pharisaic people have come from Jerusalem and they have crept into the church at Galatia. And they are spreading this message. They are attempting to turn the people away from walking in the Spirit and turning them to walking in the flesh.
Amen.
You see, they were tempting the people at Galatia to move away from walking in the Spirit, but to walk in the flesh, a sense of legalism.
Amen.
You see, legalism in works, it focuses on keeping score.
That's right. That's good.
Legalism in works We find ourselves measuring our spirituality against other people. You see, legalism focuses on what's on the outside, and it produces the works of the flesh. And as I was studying this study in the book of Galatians, it blew me away when I began to understand that the works of the flesh are the things that we read about earlier today. You see, sometimes we find ourselves, we might look all spiritual on the outside.
That's right.
And we might say the right words and act the right way. But at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, if we find ourselves living a legalistic lifestyle, then we will begin to produce the works of the flesh. Sometimes we get the notion that when Paul talks about these works of the flesh, oh, that's for those people, those sinners out there. Those bad people out there, those people that don't come to church. But what I begin to understand is that Paul is challenging the church here.
Right.
He is challenging the church. He's saying, if you find yourself caught up in legalism, if you find yourself caught up in keeping score and do's and don'ts and this and that, he says at the end of the day that you will find yourself away from focusing on walking in the spirit, and you will find yourself producing the works of the flesh. And I don't have to read the works of the flesh for you. You see them right here in the word, right?
Ooh.
Wow. When we begin to define gentleness, the basic meaning is moral goodness, integrity, and kindness. But I love what Baker's Evangelical Dictionary says, because he says that gentleness is a sensitivity of disposition and a kindness of behavior. And I begin to think about this, a sensitivity of disposition. And I believe that what we are to understand here is that as believers, we are to be sensitive to our disposition.
Amen.
And based on a proper understanding of my disposition, then that means that I am to respond with a behavior of kindness or gentleness. Let me explain what I'm saying here, okay? When I think about me, when I think about my disposition, okay? I believe that one of my strengths can be with words, okay? There are times when I know how to use words, whether in a positive light or in a negative light. And so that means that Jerry and I might be in a conflict. We might be having a discussion. We might be arguing, y'all. All right. and you see, I must be careful, because I might be dead right. But if I use my words, in a way that dishonors her or tears her down, then I'm not allowing the Holy Spirit to work in me with a spirit of gentleness. You see, there are times when we are physically stronger than somebody else. There are times when we might be mentally stronger, a disposition of being mentally stronger or physically stronger. And if we use that disposition in a negative way instead of a positive way, then God is not being glorified in our lives. A disposition of sensitivity. He says in Baker's Evangelical Dictionary that the kindness of behavior is founded on strength and prompted by love. We might have the strength, we might have the knowledge, we might have the know-how. But if we use that in a way that's not motivated by love, then God is not being glorified. God is not being glorified. Think about your strength today. Think about where you are strong at, whether it be physically or mentally or socially. Think about your strength for a few seconds today. And I believe that what God wants us to know today, that if we are going to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit called kindness, then we must take that strength and use that strength in a way that builds other people up and also glorifies God.
Amen.
especially if we say that we are motivated by love.
Amen.
I like how the Old Testament uses this idea of gentleness. It means, really, when we think about gentleness in the Old Testament, it's a word that means to condescend.
Mm-hmm.
Gentleness means to condescend. David said in 2 Samuel 22 and 36, he said that thy gentleness has made me great. Speaking of God, he says, God, your gentleness has made me great.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine the God of heaven and earth and the God of the universe displaying that type of gentleness towards us, where God condescends to lift us up?
Well,
wow. When we think about gentleness and kindness in the Old Testament, there's another word that's used. It's called hesed. Hesed. If you guys are familiar with the book of Ruth, and you guys know the story about how Ruth finds herself back in Jerusalem with her mother-in-law, Naomi. And instead of Ruth focusing on her own self and going to get a job, she stays with her mother-in-law and she goes to work in the field so she can support her mother-in-law. And when she runs into Boaz, and Boaz proclaims, he says that you are displaying kindness, hesed, the kind of kindness that only comes from God. And throughout the story of the book of Ruth, you'll see that word hesed being used two or three times, where Ruth is displaying godly kindness, even when she knew that it wasn't necessarily gonna help her in the long run from a physical perspective. And so gentleness is suggested by waters of a stream. If you think about it, in Isaiah chapter 8, verse 6, it says that the people refuse the waters of Shiloh that go softly. The people refuse the waters of Shiloh that flow softly, the gentleness of God. He says, instead, because they refuse this, I will bring upon them strong waters of the river. You see, God's kindness, God's gentleness,
well,
is being compared to smooth flowing waters.
That's right.
Who wouldn't want to trust a God like that? Who wouldn't want to trust a God that wants to relate to us in a way that we begin to understand that we are flowing smoothly with God? Sometimes we choose to live a life of anxiety. Sometimes, because we are anxious and we worry, we forget that God is right here and he's offering to us gentleness. We forget that God says in his word that he wants to offer us not only the smooth waters, but the prophet Elijah said that God came to him in a still small voice.
Amen.
It's something about gentleness that's so soothing that God offers to us. In contrast to the life that we live, we get caught up in the hustle and the bustle. We get caught up in all that's happening in our lives, and we forget.
Well,
we forget that if we just flow with God, that things will be so much easier. Things will be so much lovelier. We forget that if we just flow with God, that things will be so much greater. So many times we see in the Psalms where we are encouraged about using gentle words, and how when we use gentle words, they create great power. Proverbs 15 and 1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath. Proverbs 25 and 15 says, if you are patient, you can win an official over to your side, and gentle words can break a bone.
Come on, preacher.
You see, God wants us to understand that he offers us gentleness.
Well,
But not only does God offer us gentleness, he is telling us that because we are his, we can also display gentleness. You see, because God has come to us gentle and humble in heart, then we are encouraged to display a gentle spirit. You see, the challenge that we are faced with, the challenge that we are faced with as it relates to gentleness, as it relates to kindness, is whether or not we respond to a situation or whether or not we react to a situation. You see, more often than not, we react to a situation instead of responding. You see, more often than not, we are so caught up in our lives and we are so caught up in what's happening around us and our circumstances. And when an issue or something hits us face on, the first thing that we do is that we react. We react. Your husband comes home and he's had a bad day. And he might say something that you might believe that, you know, he shouldn't have said. And before you know it, it's as they say, it's on and popping. You see what I mean? We react into the situation instead of responding. You see, if we are responding to the situation, then that means that we are already prayed up. Amen. That means that we are already spending time with God in his word and we are on our knees and we are trusting God to walk in the spirit. And if he comes up to you and he says something that's, you know, got him all riled and he says something that irritates you, then your response is going to be, I see your pain and it goes deep. No. I mean, your response to him is that you're going to take a step back and you're going to ask God to work through you in that situation. Yes. I'm telling you guys, this is something that happens all the time. Amen. Because we are so caught up in our own situation, our own lives, and we forget how to respond. Instead, we react to a situation. And so God comes to us and he gives us a prime example of gentleness. He gives us a prime example of kindness in Jesus Christ. And he shows us in Matthew chapter 11, 29, that Jesus comes, he comes gentle and humble in heart. In fact, the King James says that he comes meek and lowly. The master of the universe, the creator of all that exists, the power to just with one thought annihilate everything in existence. And he comes lowly and meek. He comes lowly and meek. Paul appeals to the believers at Corinth. He appeals to them that they seek the Lord by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. He tells them, he says, I don't come to you with a whip, but I come to you in love and with a gentle spirit. You see, we as believers, we are challenged today to understand that God has exhibited his kindness and his gentleness toward us. And because he has done that, then we have been empowered to live a life of gentleness and kindness. You see, guys, we need to stop saying, you know, we need to stop saying things like, I ain't there yet. Because, see, that rolls over our tongue really easy. You know, when we want to get somebody told and we want to say what's on our mind and we think about what Christ would have us to do and we say, you know what, I'm just not there yet. And then we preface our, you know, what we're about to say by saying, y'all pray for me. Y'all just pray for me. God has empowered us as believers. He has empowered us as the people of God. We have the ability to walk in gentleness and kindness. Paul challenges He challenges wives. He says, seek not the unfading beauty of a gentle, seek rather the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. He says, wives, seek the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. Mm-hmm. In other words, he's telling the wives that don't get caught up on the exterior beauty. But what's important is the internal beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. You see, ladies, you may be able to keep your husband for the, you know, with the exterior beauty for a little while. But you know that at some point the exterior beauty is going to fade away. And you see, the thing that's going to be most attractive to him is the internal beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. And guys, I love it because Peter, he says this in chapter 3, verse 4. Then he goes down to verse 7 and he says, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives. Wow. Wow.
Come on, preacher.
You see, guys, I believe what God is telling us as it relates to gentleness and kindness, that we have a responsibility to not only love our wives as Christ loved the church, but we also have a responsibility to be considerate as we live with our wives. What about you today? What about each one of us in this room today as we think about gentleness as a fruit of the Spirit? And as we think about kindness, where are we in the interrelation, in the inner workings of our marriages, of our relationships, even at work? How do we relate to our coworkers? Do we relate to them in a gentle, with gentleness and kindness? And I know what you guys said, it's a dog eat dog world. And so when I'm out there in the marketplace and people are coming at me, then I got to know how to roll with them in a way that's going to gain respect. Many of you know that Jerry was mentioned earlier that we were in a car accident. And so it's going to be, you know, important that we get a second vehicle in a hurry. And so we were looking around for a vehicle and, you know, just kind of shopping around. And you know, those, the used car salesman and the car salesman, they can be the antithesis of gentleness. And so it's, you know, just, I just, you know, found myself in a situation. And I didn't remember to respond until I got home. But we had a chance to talk and work things. Well, we're working things out. But you know, it's amazing because even as I'm preparing to preach this message, God puts me in a situation and he challenges me. He challenges me and it reminds me that he has equipped me with his Holy Spirit so that I have the ability to respond to someone in kindness. Jesus is our example. Paul encourages us. He exhorts us, even as the people of God, to be people of meekness and gentleness. Wives are encouraged. Husbands are encouraged. We must be completely humble and gentle. We must be patient, bearing with one another in love. And we are to clothe ourselves. I love it. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, he says, believers are told to clothe themselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. I'm sure that as we think about this word, this fruit of the Spirit called gentleness and kindness, I'm sure that we are thinking about situations in our lives where we could have, you know, we probably could have demonstrated kindness, you know. But let Jesus be our example. Let Jesus be our example of kindness and gentleness. I love this picture because gentleness and, you know, in the New Testament, gentleness was a powerful animal with its power completely under control. Gentleness was a powerful animal with its power completely under control. It kind of reminds me of the water that's under control by rushing through a dam and being turned through the turbines, generating electricity to light a city. But you see, water out of control will be a flood destroying everything in its path.
Amen.
A disease out of control can devastate the entire body and kill its victims. But a disease under control can produce vaccines and save thousands of lives.
Good.
You see, gentleness is power under control. I love this picture. Melvin, if you could go to that, maybe the third or fourth slide. And it's a picture that I'm sure we probably all remember this picture. It comes from the Oklahoma City tragedy. And in this picture, there is a fireman and he's holding the body of this baby. I don't know if you guys remember seeing that picture or not, but as soon as we get ourselves together, you'll be able to see it. I don't know if you guys remember seeing that picture during the Oklahoma City bombing. I don't know, once seeing that picture, it's a picture that we'll never be able to forget. Because what's touching about this picture is the obvious goodness, the obvious gentleness, and the obvious kindness with which this big burly fireman is holding this little baby. You look at his face. It's like he's saying, I must handle this child very gently. Because if I handle this child gently, then maybe, just maybe, he can be saved.
Come on, preacher.
Thanks, Melvin. So when we think about gentleness, we think about power under control. When we think about gentleness, we think about anger under control. When we think about gentleness, we think about our emotions under control. And we see these happening in Jesus' life as he ministered throughout the New Testament. We see it in the life of Christ as he takes a woman by the well and as he takes her and he gently shows her who he is. We see Jesus demonstrating kindness and gentleness as he takes a woman who has been accused of adultery. And we see Jesus' gentleness as he quietly deals with her accusers. And as he quietly deals with her. We see Jesus' gentleness as he deals with a little short man, a man of short stature called Zacchaeus, who was up in a tree. And this man, Zacchaeus, the only way he could get his self-worth and his self-esteem was by exploiting other people. And Jesus comes and he says, you know what, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house today. You see, gentleness is power under control. And my last encouragement for us today is for each one of us to understand that as we trust God to work in us as it relates to gentleness and kindness, that we reach out to other people in a spirit of gentleness. I love Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, because it says, brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, notice the terminology that Paul is using here now. He says, Paul is saying, if someone is caught, it's like a lure or a trap or a web. And a person is caught and all wrapped up in their sin. And he says, brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, he says, We who are spiritual. In other words, those who are filled with the Holy Spirit. He says, restore him gently. Guys, God has given us, he has equipped us to be able to respond in a spirit of gentleness. Gentleness is to be used in a restorative way. Guys, come on now. You guys know that we live in a war zone. Don't you feel it from time to time? You sense that we're surrounded by exploding lives. We're surrounded by explosive personalities, and we're surrounded by explosive relationships. We hear the cries of people suffering every day. We see people's mangled lives. We see mangled relationships. We see messed up situations every day. And I don't know. Maybe somebody here today has made a wrong choice. I don't know. Maybe it's an issue of integrity and you're struggling with something. Maybe it's a wrong moral choice. I don't know, you know, what our situations or what your situation might be. Maybe you've been harsh with your wife, or you've been harsh with your husband, or you've been harsh with a relative. Maybe someone is struggling with habitual sin. But I believe that the word that God wants us to leave with today, that if you see somebody struggling, if you see somebody that has been caught in a sin, it may be like the woman at the well that Jesus catches in the sin, or the woman caught in adultery, or even Zacchaeus, I don't know. But Jesus says, in the word of God says, treat them gently. Pick them up and hold them gently. Show them the way to repentance. And not only the way to repentance, but the way back to God as well. And so, legacy, we have a responsibility, not only as gentleness relates to me as an individual, but we have a responsibility as a collective body of believers, that when we see someone that's fallen in a sin, that we handle them gently. That we handle them gently. I don't know where you are. Are you a gentle person today? Have you treated other people with gentleness? I want you to know that God created you. He created me. He created everyone. He created those outside these walls. And God loves them. And more than anything, God wants to restore back to himself. You know, the truth is that each one of us in this room today, each one of us in this room today, we were at a point in our lives where we needed restoration. Amen. Each one of us in this room today, we were at a point in our lives where we were separated from God. And we were separated from God because of our sinfulness, because of our sins, we were separated from God. And I thank God that he sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ. He came lowly and meekly, humbly. The one with all power in his hands. He comes gently. And he tells us, I want to pick you up. And you see, the important thing about that is that Jesus is here for us today. Amen. He wants us to understand that because of our sins, we are separated from him, but he offers forgiveness of sins. Amen. You can't save yourself. Amen. You can't restore yourself. No amount of money. No amount of church membership. No amount of, we can dunk you in and out every week if you want to. But you cannot come into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ that way. The only way that we can be right with God is acknowledging our sinful condition and acknowledging what God has done for us and crying out, whether it be in our spirit or we come running down the altar. It doesn't matter. Lord, I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. Save me, God. And come into my heart and make me a new person. I would ask that everyone in this room would just bow your heads with me if you don't mind. If you would just bow your heads. Father, we come before you today. We thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you, Father, that you have allowed us, God, to sit under your word. And we pray, God, that as a result of hearing your word today, Father, that we would be better for it, that we would be challenged, encouraged, that we would leave this place today, Father, focusing on the fact that you have equipped us to demonstrate gentleness and kindness in people's lives. And Lord God, we also pray, God, that if there's anyone here today, God, that has never come to a point in their lives, God, where they have asked you to come into their hearts, I pray right now, Father, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, Father, that you will begin to work in that person's life. I pray right now, Father, that they will begin to acknowledge that their sinful condition. That they will begin to acknowledge, Lord, that they need you, a Savior, Jesus Christ. And if there's someone here today, Father, that they would say, Lord, come into my heart and save me. Make me a new person. Father, we thank you, God, for what you're going to do. We thank you, Father, because we know, God, that your word will not return to you void. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us all stand. Amen. If there's someone here today that made that commitment to Christ, I guarantee you that your life will never be the same. Not only that, but I guarantee you that the angels in heaven are rejoicing right now. Amen?
Amen.
So let's give God praise today. Let's give God praise. Amen. And you guys know that every week we give an opportunity. There may be someone here today without a church home. And you might be looking, Legacy might be the place that God is leading you to. And so we want to take just maybe 30 seconds or 60 seconds to give you an opportunity to make that commitment as well. There may be someone here today that needs that covering, and you need that accountability, and you need that encouragement. And maybe God is saying that this is the place he wants you to be in. You know, there also may be someone here today that this whole idea of gentleness and learning how to communicate in a gentle way, that might be something that you might be struggling with, or it might be something that you are contemplating. And maybe you've had an issue and you've had a blow up recently. I don't know. There may be something else that's troubling you. There may be some other issue of concern for you. And I want to give you an opportunity, and I would like to invite you to come. We would like to pray for you as well. If there's anyone here today that desires prayer, I'll just ask you to come. Just come. We want to pray with you and want to pray with you today. Andrew, would you come pray for us?
Lord, you know that we are created by you. We thank you that you know every hair on our head. You knew us when we were knit together in our mother's womb. God, you made the way, paved the way, created the way for our redemption and for having that right relationship with you. And Lord, for meeting our every need, our spiritual need, our emotional needs, our physical needs. We are recognizing this morning that we are completely and totally dependent on you. Even as we sang, where we are lost without you. And you are our solution. And you are our source. And you are ever-present help in time of trouble. You are our answer. And we want to recognize that today. We know these people that have come forward with various needs in prayer, Lord. They're coming seeking you. We're coming, Lord, saying that we need you and that you are the answer.
Yes, yes.
And so I want to pray, Lord, that you would provide. You promised to do that. And we thank you for the privilege of being able to come and ask you for that. Boldly, even, you said to come. And so we do that. We do that because of Jesus Christ, in order to honor and glorify his name. Because you made that way, Lord. We are your children, and you don't leave us as orphans. You provide, Lord. And you are our answer. And so I don't know specifically each request, but I know you already know it.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
You know what specific request it is.
Yes.
And Lord, they're coming in faith, kind of as a statement of testimony of saying, I can't do this on my own. I need you, Lord.
Amen.
And so we are humbly coming, asking that you would meet these needs.
Yes.
And we are asking for these needs to be met in the name of Jesus Christ, who already has met every need.
Yes.
And you are the answer. You are the solution. Help us, Lord, each one here, to have faith to trust you.
Yes, yes.
And we want to leave the results in your hands. Lord, whether that be an immediate answer or a long-time answer, we know that you will work for our good.
Yes, God.
Lord.
Hallelujah.
And we thank you, Lord, for the answer that is going to be provided.
Yes.
And it's in your name we pray.
Amen. 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 The word of God for the people of God.